Morning, everyone. Monday, March 20, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Hope you had a fantastic weekend and Golden Slipper Day Saturday. What a day it was at Rose Hill Gardens, and it was a matter of time for Chris Waller, and it's achieved. He's won all the majors in Australian racing, won the Everest as well, and you get the feeling that there's many, many more to come after Shinzo for Coolmore, Ryan Moore. What a day Ryan Moore had. Won that $5 billion Longines Golden Slipper on Saturday in a classy performance on a great day's racing there at Rose Hill. Great weekend of footy again. I've got the feeling we're in for a wild season. And some upsets. Don't know how everyone went in there tipping. I went dreadfully. The AFL back, great to see the Swans after, you know, a lot of people writing them off heading into the season based on getting pumped in the grand final last year, but they made a bit of a statement in round one against the Suns on Saturday night. GWS won yesterday as well. Great weekend all round. Lozzo, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, boys. Enjoyed the footy on the weekend. As you mentioned, a couple of upsets. There's some good games. Good to see the AFL back. Shinzo, Chris Waller. He'd be a lot of people's hero this weekend, winning the Golden Slipper for the first time. He's done a lot in the racing industry, Chris, and topped it off with a Golden Slipper on Saturday. We're lucky enough to speak to him on Friday. He gave us his time on a busy morning, so it was great. Warm on the weekend, though. Jeez, tough conditions. I watched a bit of GWS play yesterday, and they were down at halftime by 28 points, and I think they were down by 31 points or something like that in the third quarter. They staged a remarkable comeback. Toby Green was outstanding. They had injuries. They, tough conditions out there in the West, and they hung on against the Adelaide Crows, who a lot of people think can play finals football this year. The experts were saying that the Giants would probably finish bottom four, but if they go out there with that same type of attitude each week, they'll win a few more games. So well done to the Giants, kick-starting their season with a tremendous victory at home.
And the Aussies last night in the cricket in India absolutely destroyed the Indians by 10 wickets. So one all in that series, one to play. Morning to you, Pup. How are you?
Morning, boys. Yeah, good win from the Aussies. India seem to do this a bit in all formats. They're on top and feel like they're playing well, and then they just have a horrible performance. So, well, I think Starkey got 5 for bowled like a genius by the looks of it. I only saw some highlights. But well done to the Aussies for their fight back in that second ODI. So one to go and game on.
26-22 yesterday, the Bulldogs over the Tigers at Belmore. And last night, the Raiders off the mark, Loz, 24-20 in a game that also was pretty eventful there at GIO Stadium. Gee, where do we start here? Let's start with the Raiders, though. Big Red, Loz. Corey Horsburgh with the double.
Yeah, first time he's done that in a while, old Big Red. But the Raiders were tough last night. They didn't play at their best. Neither did the Sharks, but it was a tight tussle. Both teams had their moments in that contest. The Raiders, though, they were able to get away to a lead and hung on there towards the back end of the game. You got a bit nervous if you're a Raiders supporter because the Sharks were coming home the stronger of the two teams, but they hung on. They got their first victory. They haven't been beaten by much in the opening two games against the Cowboys and the Dolphins, and then they won that game by 4 points on the weekend. So I think that's going to be one of these years for the Canberra Raiders. They're not going to blow teams away, but they're going to grind away. And I think they'll be winning close score lines if they're winning games this season. But the Sharkies, that's 1 from 3. They haven't been at their best. Obviously, Nicho Hynes is to come back into that team, and he'll make a huge difference. But Braden Trindle's been playing some good football, so it's going to be difficult to leave him out. But Big Red, yep, he's a very emotional type of player. He's very well liked in that footy team. Got through plenty of work, scored a couple of tries, and got the Raiders across the line.
And I just saw this going around on social media last night at GIO Stadium. Amongst the food options, you can get the Corey Horsburgh Big Red Dog. It's a 12-inch Frankfurt cheese, bacon, shallots. What's this? House-made beer and bacon cheese sauce on a Raiders green bun. There you go, the green bun for the 12-incher there last night. So at GIO Stadium.
Popular man, the Big Red.
The Big Red with the double as they got home, the Raiders. But at Belmore, it was a wild game yesterday. The Dogs led 26-6. And then between the 67th and 71st minute, it was incredible. So as the Tigers ran in 3 tries in 4 minutes and reduced the margin to 4 points with, what, just less than 10 minutes to go. We saw John Bateman out there playing for the Tigers for the first time since he's come over from the UK. Josh Adokar scored a double for the Dogs. Credit to the Dogs, obviously got out to a fast start. They looked a class above the Tigers for a lot of the game. But then, you know, you've got to give the Tigers some credit because their attack looked limp. They had all sorts of issues in attack. And Tim Sheens made a great decision by bringing Brandon Wakeham on because he added something because they needed something, Loz, yesterday. And they nearly pulled off a miracle.
Oh, it's just the same old story with the West Tigers. They made way too many errors. They put themselves under the pump. They had no resolve in their defence. The Dogs played some really good football, and then they just fell in a hole. I'm not quite sure what happened to the Dogs. It's like the heat just affected them, and the Tigers found a bit of rhythm with the football. Now, you got to ask, where was that early in the contest? Adam Dewey had an absolute shocker yesterday.
Yeah.
Absolute shocker. Yeah, well, one thing it's proved to me, because if he didn't train throughout the week, if his preparation's not right leading into a game, you never pick him again. Based on that one performance.
It was ordinary.
Because he played like there was something wrong with him. Mm. And in fact, I don't know whether you can keep those two halves together next week. They were going that poor. Now, I know they rediscovered some mojo there in the last 15 minutes or whatever it was. But up until then, they had nothing, the West Tigers. Absolutely nothing.
And I'm sure the texts will come thick and fast for heroes and villains today. There's plenty there already. So 0419 767 272, 1353 53 on the text line. We'll start taking calls after 6 o'clock this morning. But incredibly, we head into the first ever Battle of Brisbane on Friday night with the Dolphins and the Broncos on top of the table. I mean, this was 1,000,000 to 1, wasn't it, heading into the season, Loz?
Oh, I don't think too many people expected it. The Broncos, while they weren't at their best against the Dragons, and the Dragons played reasonable football, good football, like I said.
It was 18-all with 10 to go.
But the Broncos were able to accelerate in that last 10 minutes, and they just showed everyone what they're capable of doing. They've got some exciting players. They can score. In the rash decisions department last weekend, I think I put out Melbourne and put the Broncos in. And I think the Broncos...
Pretty happy with yourself.
Yeah, well, I am. I am because I think the Broncos are definitely a team that if they can play finals football or get to the finals healthy, they've just got strike in them. And they've got this young, exuberant football team that will get confident as the season goes on. And if they can handle Origin, because they'll have a number of players involved, you know, Payne Haas, Patrick Carrigan. Haas, when he came back on the field for that last stint, was phenomenal. Reece Walsh, his speed and anticipation at the back is very exciting for the Broncos. You got the control of Adam Reynolds. They've just got strike. They've got good forwards. And if they get confidence and they get that belief, I think they can go on a bit of a run at the back end of the season if they're all fit and healthy. So the Broncos are a team that's on the rise and are going to be a team to watch throughout the year.
Certainly are. You mentioned that strike, Loz, and they showed all of that. But up until the 70th minute, the Dragons were pretty good, weren't they?
Yeah, they were more than competitive, the Dragons. I think, you know, they got a lot of confidence out of that first round win to the Titans. They always tend to go well against the Broncos, regardless of where they played them. And remember, the Dragons knocked the Broncos out of contention for finals last year, but they've always had this history going back, you know, when they played in those grand finals in 92, 93, I think it was. So that rivalry is there. But if the Dragons can continue to play the way they have started this season, they'll be winning more games than a lot of people thought. You know, people had the Dragons finishing bottom four at the start of the year. They didn't have real high hopes for them, but they played well. But again, it's going to be a long year, 27 weeks. You're going to have consistency in your football, because I think if you're off 10% going into a game and you're playing a team that's ready to go, you'll find it difficult to win.
Plenty of Bulldogs and Tigers in the papers today after the 26-22 result at Belmore yesterday. Great crowd there for Multicultural Round, and Tigers burn up in doggy heaven is the front page of the Daily Telegraph this morning. The back page, Johnny Come Lately, chance for dream debut slips through his fingers. And there's John Bateman there. And that was a moment, wasn't it, Loz, when he just, when the Tigers needed something, he put that little grubber through, just had to regather and would have crashed over the line for his first try in Tigers colours.
Yeah, that may have been able to change a bit of momentum in the Tigers' way, but they just were off the pace somewhat. The Bulldogs played really well, but John Bateman, what a game to be debuting in, Belmore Oval, 35 degrees. He looked like he just got off the plane too. You know, he was that white. He stood out. He stood out.
He looked albino, didn't he? He looked albino.
But the poor bugger, he did well. He did well to play as well as he
in
did,
that
actually.
Heat as
heat,
well,
oh, mate, that heat would have knocked anyone around yesterday. But, yeah, the Dogs, they've got a good team there. They're excitable. You know, they've got some players there that are up and about. Reed Marnie leads the way very well. Karaz, the young winger, gets in and does plenty of work.
That Preston's good.
Yeah, the right back rower. Mm. Yeah, no, he's a good player. They've got plenty to work with the Bulldogs. So, obviously, they fell in a hole towards the back end of the game. They just stopped running. I can only put that down to they slackened off and the heat must have affected them because they were in control for all that game and it wouldn't have been an injustice if the Tigers had a won because the Tigers were terrible. They were terrible again. In fact, I think they went backwards.
Yeah, you're right about the halves, Loz. So you think that halves?
I just think they've got
it.
Well, I don't know whether it's done, but I think you've just got to make a change. You've just got to make a change.
Well, Freddie said in commentary on Nine, he said he's always thought Dewey's a centre.
I've never known what his best position is. I've liked him as a player, but one thing I got out of yesterday was he didn't have a great preparation in terms of the week because he missed a lot of training. If that's what he's going to play like, if he's in another situation like that, then you just don't play him. Mm. Because he made horrible mistakes yesterday. Well, and he looked like he was carrying some sort of injury. So
well,
for me, I like him as a player. I think he's a really good player. But yesterday, poor preparation led to a poor performance. I think because he just wasn't able to get out there on the field. And they looked as though, they were just meeting each other. You know, the lines that they were running were poor. The passing game was poor. The efforts in defence weren't great. And then something happened in that 10-minute period where they were able to show us what they got. But up until then, they were very ordinary.
Well, that Tim Sheens actually pulled off Nofaluma, the winger, didn't he, to accommodate, to get Wakeham on there.
Well, the way that Wakeham played, I think you've got to give him an opportunity next week. You've got to find a position in the starting side for him. Now, where do you do that? The likely option is in the halves. Just the impact that he had and the attack turned and they started playing some better football. Now, I don't know whether it was because just of Brendan Wakeham, and I don't think Brendan Wakeham's the long-term future of the Tigers either, by the way, but he was able to spark a bit of revival. They've gone 3 weeks now with their Dewey combination and the Luke Brooks combination. I think even just for the sake of just tossing it up in the air and just seeing what else we got.
What a horrible place to be, though. Like, that's our option? To just toss it up in the air and hope for something?
Well,
I think what it has done, it showed, like, Luke, I think Luke Brooks has copped a lot of criticism over his time at the Tigers, but unfortunately, he might be talented. I don't know, but he can't control a game, Loz. Like, and at the moment, Dewey seems, like, again, even if six is his position, he hasn't played enough at six to be that dominant, let me run the game.
No, well, they just haven't combined. Just haven't combined. And, you know, I just think yesterday, I think it summed itself up. I think it was fifth tackle, 10 metres out. He got tackled with the ball, Luke Brooks. And it was just like, is that the best we got? Yeah. Is that the best the Tigers have got?
And Appy's out on his feet because he's trying to do everything.
He needed to do something and just didn't come up with a play at all. It was like he just had no other option in his mind. So he wasn't planning ahead. He didn't know what to do. And for me, that was a frustration. And I don't even support the Tigers. Right. And I was watching them there getting frustrated. So I can only imagine how Tigers supporters are feeling.
New reality show with same sad ending is back page of the Australian and the Herald. Hot Dogs on a Roll. More on that Tigers-Bulldogs game there yesterday. Also back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, they rushed him. Eels defend Madison move. So this is the precursor to the big one between Penrith and Parramatta. Grand final rematch on Thursday night at CommBank Stadium. The Eels are $3.30. They're 8.5 points outsiders with Tab. Penrith $1.34, but we'll see Ryan Madison available for selection for the first time this season after, of course, out of the grand final last year. He opted for the three-match suspension instead of paying a $4,000 fine, which Eels players, because they're 0-3 in particular, continue to get asked about. And yesterday, Dylan Edwards, and naturally you're going to look after your mate and your teammate, which he did, and said something similar to what you said as well, Loz, in defending Madison. Brown telling the Herald here, obviously we make fun of him about it, but at the same time, no one knows what he was going through at the time when he made the decision. I'm sure things would have been racing through his mind after the grand final. He would have had no idea what was going on, and he's pretty sure they rushed him into making a decision. So, huge game this for the Eels, considering they're 0-3, but again, they've lost three games by 4 points to start the season. So you could argue they're not far away as well. And Penrith coming off a bye, continues to be questions and, you know, exactly where they're at. They're obviously way better against South than they were in round one, but there's no doubt that we got a feeling Penrith have lost something, certainly coming out of back-to-back premierships and the players that they've lost.
Yeah, and Penrith, the fact that they played a couple of weeks ago and picked up a couple of slight injuries, so some of their key players, Nathan Cleary was one guy that injured his leg, so he's had time now to recover, so they come back fit and healthy. And Parramatta, it's a big game for them. You don't want to be starting the season 0-4 because the tail will be well and truly between the legs then, and it's going to be difficult to play finals football. Ryan Madison coming back, like, he's not their saviour, but he'll certainly add a bit of grunt through the middle, and they might even look to play him on an edge because they did have some injuries there against Melbourne. But look, they've been competing hard, but again, we talk about Dewey and we talk about Luke Brooks. There were some halves over the weekend that didn't take control of their teams. It'll be in the firing line this week, Mitch Moses, again, just didn't come up with the right plays when it was required. Cody Walker on Friday night against the Roosters. There's a lot to like about the NRL season. There's a lot to like about the football this year because I think there's going to be plenty of upsets. And I think we said at the start of the year that, you've got to be careful early in the season because there will be upsets. Wait till we see about a month's worth of football, and then we'll get to sort of get a better idea on how teams are travelling. And I think that'll be the case because there's only a couple of undefeated teams after three rounds, and a couple of those undefeated teams have only played two games. And that's Manly. And the other ones are the Dolphins and the Broncos, who have played three each. So possibly there'll be only one undefeated side after a month of the competition.
Which is unusual, isn't it?
Mm.
They've
played four games. Mm. I mean, the ones with the bye, Manly in particular, have only played two.
Plenty of text here already for heroes and villains. Morning, boys. My villains are the Cowboys. They were ordinary on Saturday night, and my hero is Golden Slipper Day. It was the best I've had at the track in years. There were no harmless people after about race five. Everyone was in fine form. Good on you, Willow, from Windsor, sending that one through. Morning, lads. Heroes and villains. I was at the Raiders game last night. Heroes, Andrew Fifita, obviously on the coaching staff now, but one of the guys at full-time tried to walk straight up the tunnel without shaking hands. He grabbed him, made the player go back and shake hands. Villain, the bunker, HIA, being a Knights fan. Another game when in the last 10 to go, the bunker pulls off our half again, same as the Warriors game when he was sweet. Cheers, Barts. Sending that one through. Heroes and villains, 1353 53. Give us a call, and pup, it is over to you.
Rightio, I'm going first. Okay, heroes. I got two heroes. I got Chris Waller, first Golden Slipper win, and even having the opportunity to speak to him on Friday. Unbelievable. Just, again, what a amazing trainer. His time in a sport. Again, we're talking to him about the highs and lows, and you know, comparing his role to different leadership roles, whether it be in rugby league or cricket, whatever it was, and so many similarities. When you speak to him, you can just see that he's on the ball 24/7. Doesn't sleep too much. So for him to achieve what he did on the weekend, very happy for him. So he's one of my heroes. Xavier Cook's my other hero. Got his first opportunity to make his debut for the Washington Wizards after winning that amazing series for the Kings, and then straight on a plane, straight over there. He wasn't on for long, but who cares? Got his first opportunity in the NBA, so really happy for him as well. So they're my two heroes. And my villains, I'm going to go with India's batting. Dominated us in the Test series. They are an unbelievable team, but I just feel any time there's a little bit in the wicket, and the pitch looked great. Aussies chase the runs, none down. Mitchell Stark with a little bit of swing, and they're just a different team when there's a bit of pace and a bit of bounce. So, well done to the Aussies, but India's batting in that one-day game was average for how good a players they are.
Happily. Great to see.
Yeah, go Aussies. Yeah. Stick it up and win the third one, please.
Loz.
I'm going to go the GWS Giants under new coach Adam Kingsley. They came from 28 points down at halftime. I think it was 31 points behind at three during the third quarter. And then they went on and won by 16 points in extremely hot conditions. Toby Green was a star. People were thinking that, you know, they wouldn't win too many games. But if that's what we're going to get off the Giants this year, we're in for maybe a roller coaster. But if they show that same resolve and commitment in those horrible conditions, it would have been extremely warm out there yesterday against the Adelaide Crows. They'll win a few more games. So well done to the Giants. Good start to the coaching career of Adam Kingsley. Villain. Oh, geez, they're easy punching bag, aren't they, the Tigers? But I've got to stick with them. It was horrible watching it yesterday.
The attack was woeful for just 72 minutes of that game. So
they're my villains. They're my villains.
All right, my hero is Ryan Moore. Comes to Sydney for two rides on Saturday. Absolute peaches, both of them. Shinzo and the Golden Slipper. But before that, this horse that William Haggis has brought over, Dubai Honor, made an absolute mess of our 2,000 metre weight for age horses in that race. And there were some good horses in that race.
The Ranford. Very good.
And that thing won running away by, I think it was 5 lengths in the end. And it sets it up beautifully for the Queen Elizabeth Stakes on day two of the championships, April 8 at Royal Randwick, where Animo is $2.50 and Dubai Honor is $3. Now, there's another throw-in, and Ron Duffersey mentioned it yesterday on Thoroughbred Weekly. Throw-in, there's a Japanese horse coming over that I'm sure we're going to have to keep an eye on as well. But that was some before. That was the run of the day for sure, Dubai Honor. It absolutely
well and just
obliterated us.
It did. I think it sets it up for a great race in the Queen Elizabeth. You're taking on Animo, who has
was
proven
superb,
himself.
By the
has
way.
Proven himself. 9 Group Ones. It will be the last time we'll see him run here in Australia.
Yep.
And there should be a big crowd out there, obviously, for the championships and for the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. But that just sets it up for a magnificent contest, and we'll get a good look at Animo, last run here in Australia, going up against Dubai Honor. They were racing at Rose Hill on the weekend was fantastic, and an honourable mention too to the crowd. There was a massive crowd out there at Rose Hill on the weekend.
Sensational. On a hot day as well. Wanted to give also the Warriors a mention in the Heroes segment because they were superb. They've had a good start to the season. Andrew Webster, new coach. Something about them that I really like this year, Loz. And the Cowboys might have been reading a bit of their own press over the pre-season, but you know, it's early days.
Their second half performances have been ordinary. I think I read somewhere they've only scored 7 second half points in 3 matches. And it was the first game in 13 games. First win in 13 games in Australia for the Warriors. So good performance under new coach Andrew Webster. But they've got a bit of resolve about them. But I think we've said, you know, just got to cool your jets a bit because you just don't know in the first month of the season how the results are going to go. You'll get a better indication of how your side's travelling after about a month of football. And you'll see whether they're on a on the improve, or whether they're just going to be what they were the previous year, or whether they've been in decline. But the Cowboys, they've got a big game coming up, because if they lose this weekend, I mean, one of the competition heavyweights, and they're taking on the Titans at home again. So if they lose this game, they're in all sorts of trouble, I would think.
Mm. My villain, Sydney FC, who were beaten 4-0 in the derby by the Wanderers at Allianz Stadium on Saturday night. They were absolutely pumped, Sydney FC. And credit to the Wanderers, by the way, who were superb. Particularly considering, they lost 1-0, about a month or so ago. They're a combank to Sydney FC, but they just put them to the sword there on Saturday night in front of a big crowd and a great atmosphere. And Sydney FC fans were streaming out in the last 10 minutes of that match. So 4-0. Credit to the Wanderers. We'll speak to Phil Moss later this morning, get his take on everything we saw over the weekend as well. But we got Blind Freddy on the line. G'day, Blind Freddy. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. You got a hero and villain?
I certainly have, mate. Tyler Schiller. We went down to the Slipper on Saturday, the best day out for a long time. And, mate, to see him ride his first Group 1 was just sensational.
Yeah, great stuff. Maria Mia, did you have something on it?
Mate, I didn't. I backed something else in the race that they've gone looking for. But anyway, mate, that's the way it goes. Hey, and my villains, I should say, are the Tigers. I'm a Tigers tragic, and, mate, it's what they're dishing up is just very, very ordinary.
What do you think about the halves situation?
They need to sit down together, boys, and have a cup of coffee and just more or less introduce themselves to each other by the look of things.
What did they do in the pre-season then?
Oh, look, who knows? It looks like they did very little when you have a look at the performance yesterday.
Yeah, well, Loz, no. I appreciate the call, Blind Freddy, but Loz, you were saying earlier that you think that there's got to be something wrong with Adam Dewey, that he wasn't 100% fit for
He mustn't have been yesterday. I think Dewey's not a bad player. I think he's a good player, in fact. But yesterday, he made so many blues, and some of them weren't his fault. I mean, one there when he went to the line, the back rower, instead of cutting on the inside shoulder, he skipped to the outside. Dewey played short, but again, that was a lack of communication, lack of trust between those two players. But then he just came up with some blues. Him and Luke Brooks' combination, I don't know where it was, but it just confirmed me, because I was reading and hearing during the week that Dewey hadn't trained, but going on that performance that he dished up yesterday, you go, mate, if you're ever in that situation again, you're not playing. How can I trust you to go out there if you haven't prepared well to go and play? Because the performance yesterday wasn't good enough. They just kept making blues, putting themselves under pressure. I'm not singling me out. I'm just saying that the West Tigers overall, you got some blokes playing, but sometimes they're trying too hard and they're just not working together. They're not in sync. And for some reason, I don't know what happened, but when Wakeham come onto the field, it just clicked. It just clicked. I don't know why. I don't know whether it was because the Dogs were fatigued, the Dogs just thought they had the game wrapped up, or Wakeham come on and just sprinkle the magic around, and then all of a sudden they knew what they were doing. I don't know. I can't answer that question. But they were a different-looking side when he got out there for that short period.
Thanks again, Blind Freddy. We got Luke. G'day, Luke.
Good morning, lads. How you going?
Yeah, great, mate. What have you got for us?
Our hero would be young Benny Thompson. I flicked over to the races on the weekend, had a couple of bets, and I heard he won over, I think it was five races at Durban on the weekend. And I think that was in race eight, and he'd already won five or four of them. So, yeah, big weekend for him. And especially after winning that Group 1 down at Melbourne, he just boomed again. So, good on him.
Yeah, good shout out. Did you back any of them?
Nah, mate, I've been off the punt for a couple of months or so. I did follow him when I did, and yeah, of course, when I stop hunting, he comes with.
Good stuff. What about your villain?
Well, Tim Sheens, to a sense. Like, I'm not a smart guy, but I notice the little dumb things in rugby league, and I think it's a bit hypocritical for Tim Sheens to come off the field and whinge about the heat, but yet he sends his whole team out there in a black bloody uniform. Like, why not go in the away uniform? Fly to have the orange uniform. Like, 35 degrees in completely black clothes in Bankstown, like, luck. And then come up and win as well. I'm very smart.
I don't think you had a choice either, do you? Though what uniform you wear. I think it's either the home or away, isn't it? I don't know whether you get a choice. But I don't know whether that had much to do with it though. Just the uniform. I think they were they had a bit more to worry about than wearing those jumpers.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be the coach deciding.
No,
what jumper they're going
decide.
To be.
No.
jumper they're going to be wearing. But take.
I'm
point.
Pretty sure it's the. I don't know, in the NRL operations manual that if you just can't decide what jersey you're going to wear, you've got to have it cleared. But there's also the direction that the game would give you that if you're the away team, you've got to wear a certain jumper. If you're the home team, you've got to wear a certain jumper. If you want to change that, then it needs to be ticked off by the NRL.
I'm sure you're right. Morning, Jacob.
How you going, guys?
Nah, really well, thanks, mate. Have you got a hero?
Yeah, Blake Johnson. He surfed 40-odd hours in Cronulla on the weekend for mental health. I think he ended up raising $335,000, maybe.
Awesome, yeah. We mentioned him a couple of times late last week. And wonder how the body was feeling after that.
I saw an interview. He was pretty wrecked. He's 40-odd years old too, so what a man.
Yeah, legend.
I think they took him straight to hospital to get him checked out and hopefully...
I think so too.
It was okay, but I couldn't stay awake for 40 hours.
nah, especially in the water out there in Cronulla.
Oh, yeah, imagine the dehydration that you'd be experiencing.
It would have been very tough.
What about your villain, Jacob?
Just the Cowboys. Only Queensland side not to win this weekend. I know they're missing... Oh, no, he played. Scott Drinkwater played. I don't know what their problem is, to be honest.
No, Drinkwater was out.
Yeah, it was suspended.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was.
That's right. Yeah, so maybe they're missing him, but it was just average.
Yeah, their second half performances have been ordinary this year.
Yeah, I just don't know where they're finding points, to be honest. Like, if there's not Scott Drinkwater or Val Holmes scoring, who else really finds points for them?
Yeah, I reckon they'd be asking themselves the same question. I don't know whether they're just... relaxing and thinking that it's all going to happen again for them this year without doing the tough yards. But they have been one of the disappointing sides from last year. No question about it, because I think, I certainly did. I had them playing finals football, top four. I think Middo had them playing...
Winning premierships.
So he might have got a bit carried away. But I stand by this year. You've got to wait and see how the season unfolds over the first month before you get a better read on your team, I reckon.
Yeah, I did just hear you say that. You're probably not wrong, but losing a couple early is not going to help the confidence, let's be honest.
No, well, they've got the Titans this weekend, so...
They've been playing good footy.
Yeah, they have.
It's not going to be a walk in the park.
No, but they're at home. They should be beating the Titans up there, you would think, but who knows? We'll see.
Good on you, Jacob. Appreciate the call, mate. Lots of texts here. Morning, boys. I was very lucky to be at Rose Hill Sunday. How good is more? Two rides, two wins, and never been to the track, says Marco at Blacktown. Hero, Shinzo, Ryan Moore. Great fill-up. Villain, the Cowboys in the storm. What's doing? Asks Ados. Morning, boys. Hero, Ryan Moore. Villain, Parramatta. Looking at 0-4, not good enough. And we're in the game the first three games, but couldn't ice them, says Mark from Singleton. Heroes, the jockeys, Purton and Moore, fly in, take home Group 1s. Then yesterday, J-Mac goes to Hong Kong, takes out the Group 1 over there. Ultimate pros, villain was the temperature over the weekend. Where was it all summer? Asks Mitch from Robertson, sending that one through. Morning, gents. Today's heroes, the Australian cricket team. Great comeback into form. Particularly Smith with a great catch. I don't know if you saw that puppy. Stuck the right mid out.
Yep.
Took an absolute specky. And Darren from EMU Plains gets stuck into Damien Lane for what he's right on Uncommon James in the Galaxy. I need to go back and look at that, but I know that the Punners Club, I mean, we had Uncommon James, which I know that there were some expletives on our group chat about. So I'll have to go back and have a look at that. Morning, boys. Heroes, the Irish team for taking out the Six Nations Grand Slam. Villain, the Dragons for imploding in the last 10 minutes of the game. Cheers, EJ. Yes, Ireland beat England in Dublin. So they won the Six Nations. And, Loz, you were telling me before you probably saw one of the worst send-offs ever.
Oh, jeez.
And I've just seen a... I missed it when I saw the highlights, but what? So England player has crashed into an Irish bloke's elbow.
Freddie Stewart, I think his name is. He was sort of like bracing himself. He's got his arm, all right, his arm down alongside, his hip leg.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just there, braces himself, turns. The Irish player runs into him with his head, so where his elbow is. The elbow's not cocked. It's
down by his side.
And he gets sent off.
What a farce.
He gets sent off for an elbow to the head.
Okay, that...
Oh, I'm telling you, if that's the way they're going to referee the World Cup,
well, that's
out.
The way... Well, they will. They will, because look referees out. Are getting applauded for those sort of decisions, unfortunately. We got plenty more here. Hero Ryan Moore and J-Mac said he was the best. How correct was he? Villanelle Daly, how did you come to the conclusion to picking Gold Trip when all of its wins have been with the sting out of the ground? It was a million degrees on Sunday.
Top two, Daz. Not to win. I think it was top two.
Yeah, you did. You had it top two. Yeah. But, you know, mount your defence.
Well, last start, ran two. Ran second, sorry. And if I can remember correctly, I think it would have been a good three. The last track that it raced on, where it ran second. It was very, very good.
It's pretty good defence, actually.
So, stepping up in distance, 2,000. But again, we all make judgment calls, Middo, at some times. That's the reason why, Big Daz. Second up, good record. I think, Middo, it was a good three.
It was, first up in the Peter Young and ran second to Stein and beaten 0.3 of a length on a good three.
Yeah.
And then it's run fifth, beaten nearly 7.5 lengths by, well, they're all beaten, it felt like, by 10 lengths by Dubai Honor there on Saturday in the Ranvert. What a performance that was. Morning, lads, just more here. Boys, the hero for me is me for tipping Shinzo on the text line to you on Wednesday. Villain is Joey Manu in the attack on the South Winger. Cheers, Joe the Botany Battler. Can I win 2 weeks in a row? The defending champion. Now, there was another probably alternative hero and villain from that game. I'm sure you're both Roosters and Bunnies fans respectively. Hey, boys, hero Joey Manu. Try save after try save. Villain Cody Walker pushing Sam Walker off the ball and playing for an obstruction. Cheers, Davidenko. Sending that one through, but he'd infuriate you at times, Cody Walker, that's for sure. Because
he just gets carried away, Cody, sometimes and loses his way and gets caught up in the emotional side of it. And we all know what a talented player he is, and he's one of the better ball players in the comp. But if they get it right, South, they've got their best attack. They've got one of the best attacks in the game. But they've got to make sure that they stay in control of their emotions. But again, you come back to that South Roosters contest. There's always emotion. Mm. And it seems as though the team that controls it the best is the team that wins the game. And when Jared Weir Hargreaves came off the bench, he turned the momentum in the Roosters' favour on the weekend, I thought. He's the big dog and he really went after them. But he was able to stay controlled and the Roosters players took their lead from him, whereas the South players looked like they were getting out of control and losing their focus on what needed to be done and getting caught up in the emotional stuff. So I think it's just a good lesson for both those clubs that they've just got to worry about sticking to the process of playing football, not getting caught up in the other stuff. And if they do that, they'll put their best football and let their football talking do the talking for them.
Overnight, FA Cup quarterfinals. Brighton beat Grimsby 5-0. Manchester United beat Fulham 3-1. So this all means we're down to the final four in the FA Cup and we could have an all-Manchester final. So Brighton plays Manchester United in one semi-final and Manchester City plays Sheffield United in the other. Now in the Premier League overnight, just the one game, Arsenal beat Crystal Palace 4-1. In the A-League yesterday, Melbourne City, they were held to a 1-1 draw by MacArthur there at Campbelltown. That was last night, and we'll speak to Mossy later this morning. Of course, in the big Sydney derby Saturday night, the Wanderers pummeled Sydney FC 4-0 at Allianz Stadium. Now, in the golf this morning, over on the LIV Tour in Tucson, Aussie Mark Leishman went into the final round with a 2-stroke lead. Not going well at the moment. He's now 3 shots off the pace after he's started with, well, in his first 5 holes, he's made 3 bogeys and a birdie. So he's 2 over. He's now 9 under for the tournament, but 3 shots off the pace because Charles Howell III has started with an eagle and then has birdied the 4th and the 6th. So he's 4 under through 6, 12 under for the tournament, 2-stroke lead over Louis Oosthuizen, and Leishman 3 shots off the pace. On the PGA Tour, the Valspar Championship, Jordan Spieth has gone ahead. He leads by 1 stroke, 9 under par. He's nearly about to turn for home there. And Tommy Fleetwood and American Adam Schenk are both 8 under par, 1 stroke off the pace. No Aussies in contention there. In the Formula One Grand Prix in Saudi Arabia, Sergio Perez has beaten his Red Bull teammate Max Verstappen. Fernando Alonso has finished 3rd. Incredible performance from Verstappen, considering he started around 15th on the grid after he had a car issue in qualifying. But Aussie Oscar Piastri, the 21-year-old, in his second Formula One race, hasn't really gone well again because he qualified well. He qualified within the top 10, but he's finished 15th, and that's because he got some contact on the opening lap and he had to pit. His teammate Lando Norris also had some issues, finished in 17th. That in Saudi Arabia this morning. And in the cricket last night, the Aussies have destroyed India to level the 3-match one-day series at 1-all. India made 117 after Mitchell Starc took 5 for 53. And we bowled them out after 26 overs there last night. Sean Abbott, 3 for 23, and Nathan Ellis, 2 for 13, also amongst the wickets. But Steve Smith took an absolute specky at slip, stretching out with his right hand, and that was Hardik Pandya off the bowling of Sean Abbott. And in response, the Aussies, Travis Head not out 51 off 30 deliveries, Mitchell Marsh not out 66 off 36 deliveries, Marsh Club 6 sixes. As we got there, none for 121 after 11 overs.
That's a flogging.
That's an absolute pasting.
Yep. That's India batting on a wicket that just did a little bit. It swung. Mitchell Starc got the ball to swing a little bit, but it just had a bit more pace and bounce in it. So you can, if you watched any part of last night's game, you can see why they made the wickets how they did in the Test Series. So that World Test Championship over at the Oval, I think you might see a different result as well. Just a little bit more pace and bounce to bring the Aussie quicks into play. And, yeah, good comeback after Australia losing that first ODI as well.
Good, 100%. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing us play them at the Oval.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit different. I watched a bit of this the other day as well, the Sale GP over in New Zealand. I don't know if you boys are into that, but I'm really good mates with one of the Aussie sailors, Tom Slingsby.
Yeah,
great fella. And it's just growing legs. They have it out here in Australia, and they got done.
Well, these boats are amazing.
That's what I was going to say. They just absolutely fly these things. And I'm not a big one for sailing. But when you were watching that the other day, I couldn't turn it off. Just the speed these boats do. Get out of the water, got like these big, like a big fin. Yeah. Lifts them up out of the water, and they just absolutely fly. So I'm not sure if it's your go, Lozzie, or a sailor.
The only time I start to watch it is around America's Cup.
Yeah, top, yeah.
The qualifiers, yeah, or the America's Cup itself. Yeah. If it's on in the background, I'll have it.
Yeah,
but I don't get into it. But I can only imagine the speed that they travel at.
Yeah, these new catamarans they've got, I think they're 45 foot or 50 foot, but they just, yeah, they absolutely hum. I think, again, sailing, like all sports, trying to modernise, trying to find a way to bring new people into their sport. And watching a bit of that the other day, you can see why. New Zealand, yeah, it was packed too.
Yeah, they love it over there.
Yeah.
No, they certainly love it. And obviously they've had a bit of success with the America's Cup, and they've staged it over there as well. But they're a big boating nation, New Zealand.
Definitely.
Last night in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Derby was won by Voyage Bubble, which paid $46.80 on the New South Wales tote, $9.70 the place. And credit to Alexi Bedell, the jockey, because they were crawling in that race. I got my old man staying with me. He goes, just flick it over and watch the Hong Kong Derby. And I decided to, you know, doing no form, I was like, oh, Ryan Moore, he'll probably win this as well. I've had a little crack at Ryan Moore's horse last night, which was paying about $16. It's been beaten a pimple.
Oh, dear.
Been beaten a pimple by this Voyage Bubble. And the reason Voyage Bubble, I actually said to my old man, I was like, this jockey's done the right thing here. Took off up the back straight because he could tell they were crawling, got the horse rolling, and it has got home. So $46.80 for those involved. Beauty Eternal, though, which was the hot favourite, has finished third for Zach Purton and John Size. But the other group won there overnight, the Queen's Silver Jubilee Cup, won by Lucky Swayness with James McDonald in the saddle. Paid $2.60 on the New South Wales tote, and it beat California Spangle with Zach Purton in the saddle, and Wellington with Ryan Moore on board ran third, but there was no third divvy in that race. But J-Mac, a group one in Hong Kong for him overnight. We've got Trent on the line. Morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, boys. How you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Go for gold.
That's the way. Mate, quick one for Loz first up, Meadows. Sorry, mate. I've just got to ask him something real quick.
Go, mate.
Mate, do they have a heat policy for the kids as far as the NRL is concerned?
Well, I know the NRL have a heat policy. Junior rugby league, I'm unsure, but I'm assuming, mate, it would have to have some type of policy there. If it reached a certain amount, certain temperature, then it'd either be called off or you had to have so many drinks breaks. I'm pretty confident that all levels would have some type of guide or policy in place, mate.
Yeah, fair play. Look, I was out at Colleton on Saturday, mate, with my young bloke. What time did they play? Played at about 12:20.
Yep.
Mate, there was some really... Mate, he only lasted about 6 minutes, and he was cooked.
He was absolutely
cooked. So, wasn't the fact that I just, you know, it was just... I don't know if they do have it, if they don't. Next time we got Dave Trotton on, mate, might be an idea, just ask the question.
Mm. I'm pretty confident they would, mate. Like, duty of care is so important in any workplace now. And, you know, in sporting organisations, they would have to have a policy in place, mate. I'd be pretty confident they would. But I'm unsure of what it is.
Nah, fair enough. Well, I'll get to Heroes and Villains now, mate. Thanks for that, Loz. Appreciate it. Chris Waller, sensational Grand Slam, great training performance. Honorary mention goes to those poor souls out of the AFL and the Rugby League yesterday. Both players, officials and spectators, because as you probably would have guessed, it was stifling yesterday. And the villain boys, pretty simple today. Mate, we've got no sport on this weekend. Like, the last weekend was fantastic as far as every single sport goes, and now we're at Monday and we've got to wait another week. So
bring back Monday night football.
I agree.
Oh. Yeah, I agree. I'm with you 100%.
Absolutely.
100%.
Clubs hate it though, don't they?
Oh, they do, yeah.
I don't care. I
want to sit at home and watch it on a Monday.
And it was always like 7 o'clock kickoff.
Perfect timing.
It was just ideal. Yep. It would rate through the roof. Turnover, enormous as well.
I think they should look at it.
Get rid of the 6 o'clock Friday night game. Put it back on Monday night. The clubs
Thursday,
can blow
Friday,
up the
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yep. 5 nights a week.
Yep.
There you go. Oh. Solved.
Then we'll want Tuesday.
Nah, love it,
yeah,
Trent.
Monday night footy, I agree.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for the call, as always. Hero on the text line, Corey Horsburgh. Uplifting to see the crying ginger. That's harsh. Crying ginger with a face like a smashed crab with a smile on his face. Winners are grinners. The Stanmore Stinker. Send a picture in of yourself, the Stanmore Stinker.
Brad Pitt. Send it in, Brad. Villain, we'll critique.
Yeah. Villain, all the heroes that text in on a Monday nominating themselves as their hero because of their winning personal bets. No one cares, chumps, says the Stanmore Stinker. Keep them coming. 0419-767-272. There was one I wanted to read here, Loz, about the Tigers yesterday because I think they're onto something. I know Tigers are terrible in attack at the moment, but I believe their defence is quite good. Take away the two silly tries given away on the Bulldogs line, by Dewey passes, and the Dogs only scored 6 points in the second half. There is potential, and hopefully their attack will improve with some added confidence from their late flurry yesterday, says Bert at Woi Woi. Their defence probably has been better, Loz, but their attack deplorable yesterday. The issue with their attack that, I mean, you got all pre-season, and the fact that it feels like they're experimenting with their spine in round three.
Yeah.
Maybe not experimenting, but their hands been forced already.
Yeah, I think,
with their most important positions.
Well, it's not working. They had a period yesterday where things started to click, and it was a 10-15 minute period. I thought there were some good signs in round one because they were doing things differently to what they'd done previously. So I thought, oh, hang on, sit back and watch this. This will be good. But last weekend against Newcastle and then yesterday, it was just poor again. And even if it's just to give a bit of a shake up to the joint, I think they need to make the tough decision. Either Dewey has to go to another position or Brooks comes off the bench. I think they just have to shake it up somehow. And that's only my opinion. I mean, as a coach, Shenzi might be sitting there and Benji might be looking there going, no, we're going to stick with this policy. This is the way we're going. This is the way we move forward. But from what I saw yesterday, and again, I'll get back to Adam Dewey. He made so many mistakes in that game. Now, I know that he didn't train in the lead-up to that performance, which shows me that if he's in that situation again, I don't think you pick him. Because if that's what he dishes up, if he hasn't prepared well and hasn't been out there on the training paddock, you can't go with him again. Because the Tigers yesterday were just off the pace. You know, they're just not in sync at the moment with their attack. But like all coaching staffs, they'll get there, they'll try and sort it out, they'll try and work on the problem. Sometimes you might look at it and go, well, have we got the right stock?
G'day, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks, mate. Go for it.
Righto. Hero is suburban footy. How good did it look? I naturally wasn't there, but I used to go back in the day. But how good did it look on the TV screens on Thursday night out at Brookie and then last night out at Belmore?
Nearly always does.
Even if there's only 15,000 people here, there's 15,000 happy people, loud people, and it looks like it's full. It just looks, and it pumps the game up, I think. I think it looked really good on TV. But give an honourable mention, too, to the four debutant AFL coaches who all had wins. I think the all-up paid about $82 if you had it.
Right. What about your villain, mate?
The application of the HIA. Now, I know every week you can pick out 100 where that should have been, that should have been, that shouldn't have been. But when Wirira Hardgraves and Radley come together and Wirira Hardgraves opened Radley up, naturally because Radley's bleeding, he gets sent for a HIA, they didn't even look at Wirira Hardgraves. Now, I know he's got hard head, but why didn't they even look? It was ridiculous.
Oh, it's their head clash.
Yeah.
You've got to be showing symptoms, don't you?
That's where you get a concussion from head clash, isn't it?
The independent doctor can book.
We're going to be doing this for the rest of our lives on this show, is picking apart the HIAs. Yeah.
Well, I could pick out another one on the weekend. I think it was Lachlan Fitzgibbon early in that game on the weekend against the Dolphins. He was lying on the ground. He had hold of his jaw. Mm. He got hit in his jaw. And I'm thinking, oh, well, he'll have to come from the field. But he stayed out there. Mm. So I'm unsure of what they're looking for, whether it's symptoms or whether it's just if it looks bad, you've got to come off. But we're going to get this all through the year because you'll be watching your team very closely and you'll be watching the opposition team. And if someone on the opposition, you know, gets hit and they're not asked to leave the field and a player from your side will be, you'll be blowing up. But I think we've got to always put the safety of the player first. And if we get some wrong, we get some wrong. But you want to hope that we get the majority of them right.
Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
Golden Slipper, Shinzo, Chris Waller. I mean, it was inevitable. Chris Waller was always going to get one. Now it's probably floodgates open.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a while, haven't we, Gerard? Just through sheer strength of numbers and weight of numbers, he was always going to knock off a Golden Slipper at some stage. And you can see it meant a lot to Chris there after the race on the weekend. He was quite emotional talking about the fact he'd finally managed to win a Golden Slipper to go with his Cox Plates and Melbourne Cup and Caulfield Cup and Everest. So he's pretty much done the Grand Slam now. But what I do want to say about the training performance with Shinzo is to get that horse to peak again 7 days after having to scramble his way into the field, I suppose, winning the Pago Stakes. That's a genius training effort, isn't it? Because it's hard to keep these two-year-olds up. It's hard to get them to back up like they did up there on the weekend with Shinzo. And he was just at his absolute peak of his powers there on Saturday in the Golden Slipper again. Really nice ride by Ryan Moore. Drew the inside gate. And things did fall into place for him, it must be said. But he just had that horse travelling sweetly throughout the race. And he was too good in the end, beating Cylinder, who I thought was really game there, runner-up. He had a perfect run in transit from James McDonald. Just got beaten by a better horse on the day. And then go through the three Snowden runners, King's Gambit, Don Corleone, and Empire of Japan, all ran up to probably somewhere near their best. I thought King's Gambit was great. He loomed up, looked like he's going to win the race. But if you watch that pre-parade before the slipper on the weekend, he was sweating profusely. He was in a muck lather, so he almost ran his race. I thought before he got to the barrier. So to run as well as he did, I thought was an enormous effort. But we don't want to take anything away from Shinzo. He is going to be worth an absolute packet going forward now.
Adam, we spoke to Chris on Friday. It didn't give much away. Like, I think that was one of the things we were trying to work out. Did he feel the nerves or did he feel the pressure because he hadn't won a slipper? But I don't know. Does he feel that? Well, so much success. Did he still feel that, do you reckon?
You both sent a claim success for him winning the slipper because you interviewed him on Friday or something.
Yeah, yeah, we are, actually.
No, we're just trying to get a little feel like somebody that's achieved everything. Do you still get nervous and do you still feel that expectation pressure because there was, you know, as you say, there's only one thing you hadn't achieved?
Yeah, absolutely, Clark. You know, I think deep down, Chris would know and would have heard the murmur saying, oh, well, he's done pretty much everything in Australian racing, but guess what? He hasn't trained a Golden Slipper winner, hasn't trained a big two-year-old winner. So I think deep down, he would have known himself because there was always a target he wanted to tick off. And in my opinion, he had nothing to prove whatsoever. He would go throughout his whole career without training a Golden Slipper winner, and it wouldn't change or diminish his standing in Australian racing, I suppose, Australian racing's pantheon. But it's just that final little box to tick, isn't it? And the reason he hasn't trained a lot of Golden Slipper winners or big two-year-old feature race winners is because he doesn't push his horses. And the reason why he wins races with horses as six-year-olds and seven-year-olds in Sydney on a Saturday, whether it's in the middle of winter or middle of summer, is because he doesn't push them as young horses. So he gets the longevity out of them, whereas other trainers might push them a little bit harder and try and win those up-and-coming races as two-year-olds and early three-year-olds, but they don't get the benefits at the back end of their careers. So you can't have it all your own way, but obviously he found the right horse. He had a class horse, and he's done it pretty much all in one preparation. He didn't debut after Christmas, did he? So, yep, feather in the cap of Chris, no doubt, there on the weekend.
What was the better win, Enemo in the George Ryder or Dubai Honor in the Renvet?
Oh, they were both sensational, weren't they, Loz? It is going to be some clash in this Queen Elizabeth Stakes in a few weeks' time because, well, first of all, on Enemo, I must admit, I thought if it was going to be one race that was going to be vulnerable this preparation, it was going to be the George Ryder there on the weekend. He was coming back in trip. He drew a sticky gate, which he hasn't had a lot of so far in his career in the last 12 to 18 months. And you could just tell as the race is panning out, you think, okay, James is going to have to really work for this here because he's getting no favours in the run. But that's what champions do, Loz. They seem to find a way, don't they? They find a way to win when the chips are down. The chips are definitely down there on the weekend. Again, it wasn't a big margin, but he just knows how to win this horse. And ninth group one, I think we're going to judge him in the fullness of time very favourably. Look upon our champions of Australian racing in the last 10 or 15 years and just can't wait for this Queen Elizabeth Stakes in a few weeks' time. And on Dubai Honour, all the talk pre-race was that he needed some sort of sting out of the ground. He wanted a softer track. And I know there was a lot of chatter about the track there on the weekend and the first few races and the irrigation that was applied to it. But he has absolutely obliterated them in the Randwick Stakes there on the weekend. And it probably, one, it says that the horse is obviously super, super classy. The other thing it says is that our weight for age ranks around that 2,000 metres are very, very thin at the moment. So this race, in a few weeks' time, we can talk about all the promotions you like. Just put up both those horses, put up the superstar jockeys, and I think the promotion's sold for the ATC.
Mr. Brightside won the All-Star Mile at the Valley.
Yeah, he was fantastic, wasn't he, Jared? If you want to see a good ride, watch Luke Curry's ride on this horse. I watched the replay a couple of times last night, and I'm sort of watching him thinking as he approaches the 400-metre mark or 500-metre mark, he's got Keats coming back in his face. He's stuck on the fence. Like, what's he going to do? You can see the horse is clearly travelling. And within the space of about 100 metres, he was literally five off the fence and building momentum. He just managed to ease across their heels and find a little pocket of space, and then the horse was just a little bit too strong in the finish. So Ben and JD Hayes have done a great job with that horse, obviously winning at Doncaster. He's gone down to Melbourne and continued his form in these weight for age races. So a massive feather in the cap for them. And I felt a little bit sorry for Craig Williams, it must be said. Obviously laid up in hospital, he couldn't take the ride on Mr. Brightside. But I thought it showed the class of the bloke is that he gave instructions and gave some advice to Luke Curry in the week before the race about how to ride the horse and a few of his quirks. So I think lesser jockeys wouldn't have done that. So, yeah, well done to Craig Williams in hospital. I thought it was a really classy move.
Mate, thank you. We'll chat tomorrow.
See you, boys.